Why is it that some people don't understand what Christians see so clearly? Sometimes when you are explaining your point of view as a believer, well, this is why we do things the way we do them. People don't seem to get the point of what you're saying. It's like, well, I don't see what you would do that. You cannot get your point across no matter how much you explain what you have understood. And I know that happens sometimes when you're not talking about spiritual things, but when you're trying to explain the Christian point of view to someone who is not a believer, and you might do it in a very clear way, still people might not get it. The scripture passage that we're looking at this morning explains to us why that is taking place. There are some changes that have taken place on the believer, which is the result of God's pouring His grace and His favor in their lives. One of them is unrestricted access to God's wisdom. And the second one that we're going to look at this morning is the communion with the Holy Spirit, which allows us to think like Christ, to have the mind of Christ, as Paul explains it. Ministers of the Word, or leaders in the Christian community, have a very unique job that can only take place among believers, among God's people, because of the favor that has been bestowed upon them, because of the change that believers have experienced. So you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to the end of the chapters, 6 to 16. And we're going to continue the study of this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote for the instruction of God's people as part of his ministry of the Word to believers. And he's going to explain in this passage what he's doing as he explains the Word of God. So I'm going to start reading on verse 6 from chapter 2 and from the New King James Version all the way to verse 16. And please follow along in your Bibles if you have them with you. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But that it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared to those who love him. But God has revealed to them, he has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows, the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will help us to meditate in these verses and in the incredible gifts that you have given us, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us. One of them is the Holy Spirit himself. And the other one is access to this hidden wisdom, hidden among so many people, Lord. And thank you for revealing it to us. Now I pray that you will help us understand it and stand by it and live by it. And may you use our lives to share with other people around us as they see the fruit of your wisdom in our lives. And thank you for letting us look at your word this morning. We're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul wrote this letter of 1 Corinthians to address some of the problems that he found out were taking place among the believers in the church in Corinth. And I cannot emphasize enough that the Apostle Paul is writing to a group of believers in Christ that were successfully called and set apart by God. And I'm going to just go over some of these verses at the beginning that I think they are very important. He said to the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified. He understands that these believers, even with all their problems, they have been set apart for Christ. They're called to be saints. They call on the name of Jesus, just like all the other believers. And in verse 4, then Paul acknowledges that they have received the grace of God. And Paul acknowledges that they have been made rich in everything. Just like Paul writes in Ephesians, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing that there is. And that is because of the fact that they are in Jesus Christ. There is no greater blessing that you can receive than the blessing of being in a state of grace in Christ. And he also says that the testimony of Christ was confirmed in them. He saw the change that had taken place because of Christ in each one of them. And they were not short in gifts. The work of the Holy Spirit was among them. Despite all their problems, God was working among them. The Holy Spirit was with them. And he was completely sure that they were going to be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to confirm them to the end. They were going to stay till the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. They had been called into fellowship, just like all the other believers. And if you are a believer, even though we might fail, just like the Corinthians, all these things are true for each believer. We have been called into fellowship with the Son of God, and so that we can be in fellowship with the Father and the Son of the, as John says it. So after that, he moves into the first problem, and he's going to reason with them why they shouldn't be fighting about, oh, I belong to Paul, I belong to Peter, I belong to Apollos. I belong to Christ. And he's going to talk about this problem for chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. He's going to be dealing with this problem of groups or factions in the church. And the encouragement that he gives them is to seek unity. And he's going to build an argument that I want to summarize. He tells them, either as an exclamation, is Christ divided? Or he's saying, Christ is not divided. And he says, you are going after different teachers because you were baptized by them. But he says, baptism doesn't save. It is the message of Christ's death, the message of the cross that saves people. It's not that you got baptized, but it's that you heard the message, and the message was used by God to bring changes in your life. The skill of the messenger doesn't save. If you go after Apollos because he's the most eloquent of the preachers, or if you go after Peter because he was the one who shared the gospel with the Gentiles first, it's not his skill, because the Holy Spirit came to those in the house of Cornelius, and then it has come to you too. It is the message of the cross that saves. And it sounds fool, especially when you compare it to human standards. You mean God is going to save people just by believing that someone was crucified, that someone was treated as a criminal, and that was his plan? But he tells them that is the wisdom of God. God has planned it, and God has chosen to show his wisdom through predicting what was going to happen, then coming to live among his people, and then being put to death so that he could bring righteousness. So the wisdom of the world doesn't save. So you think that maybe you're following Apollos or Paul because he's wise? That's not going to save you. It is the wisdom of God that is found in Christ. So God doesn't operate according to human standards. According to human wisdom, you're choosing one teacher over another one. But God doesn't, the message of Christ doesn't work that way. Everything that you need has been provided to you, and it's not because of the teacher that presented the gospel to you, it's because you are in Christ. God provided everything to you in Christ. Christ has become to us wisdom and righteousness, and Christ has become sanctification. It is because of Christ that you have been set apart to God, and it is because of Christ that you have been brought into the family of God. You have been set free from sin. So that's the end of chapter 1. Then he moves into chapter 2, and he tells them the message of the cross that came to you was not preached, especially when I preached to you. When I came, I was afraid for my life. I was in fear and trembling. But it wasn't the way that the message was presented to you. I purposed myself to only present the message of the cross to you, because I knew that that's what that could save you. And then it was accompanied by the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. I saw the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, so that he told them at the beginning, you have been enriched with everything, with every gift, and I saw the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when you think about what is happening in our lives, we don't have to see all the miracles that took place in Corinth, or even all the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performed. We have records of them. We just need to understand that that is the work of God. And the believers in subsequent generations, as the miracles are starting to not be as frequent, they didn't need the miracles. The power of the Holy Spirit to change lives is still happening now. The power of the Holy Spirit seeing miraculous signs already happened and was recorded and is sufficient. But for the Corinthians, they even had the opportunity to experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit firsthand. It says they had every gift among them. They had the gift of tongues. They had the gift of translation of tongues. They had the gift of healing. They had the gift of teachers. And they even had apostles among them. Peter was there. That's why some people were following Peter. Paul was there. But we have the teaching of Paul here with us, because it's the teaching of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's going to explain today. We have the teaching of Spirit here. So we don't need to say, well, we cannot be like the Corinthians because Paul never came to our church or Peter never came to our church. It is the good thing is it's not the preacher. It's not the way that he preaches. It is the message of the cross. So it's kind of silly for you Corinthians to be fighting that, oh, I'm from Apollos and I am from Paul. They are just workers, as he's going to explain in chapter 3, of the message of the death of Christ on the cross. So, as he continues this argument, he is going to, in some ways, describe to them what he is doing, what his ministry is, now that he is dealing with believers. And his ministry is to speak to God's people. And because God's people have been favored by God's grace, it has a unique task that he has. And there are two changes that have taken part in the life of a believer that makes that relationship of the message of God to the people of God unique. And the first one, so we only have 2 points this morning, God grants people unrestricted access to his wisdom. I'm starting in verses 6 to 9. So Paul starts in verse 6 saying, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But rather we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained for our glory before the ages. So the task of Paul, he says, my task is to speak to you the wisdom of God that has been revealed to me through the gospel. And he had already told them that the wisdom of God is the gospel. Christ has become to the believer wisdom and sanctification and justification and righteousness and redemption. But he says, however, we speak wisdom among the mature. And I want you to think, there have been different interpretations about this word mature. But at least in chapter 2, what we have is we have two different groups of people. The people that do not have wisdom of God, and the people that have wisdom of God. The people that have the wisdom of God are the mature. And I think every believer, and the word mature can be translated as complete. If you are in Christ, you are complete. You are not missing anything else, because in Christ you have all the spiritual blessings. In Christ you have been enriched. So everything that you need to make you complete is in Christ. And in Christ we have the hope of glory. You eventually will be presented blameless before His glory. You might not be blameless now, but eventually you will be presented blameless, just like the Corinthians. So in Christ you are complete. So I'm going to take the view that when Paul says, I'm speaking to the mature or the complete, he's not going to the church and separating, hey, you guys that are following the steps of God correctly, who are not, because some people try to make a difference between the baby believers and the mature believers. You who are baby believers, I don't talk to you, I'm just going to speak wisdom to the mature. I don't think that's what's happening. I think everybody who has received the wisdom of God, whether he's a new believer or a mature believer, is the recipient of the message of Paul. Because Paul is, the way that a person is saved is through the message of the gospel. The way that a person grows spiritually is through the message of the gospel. So it's not because of ceremonies or rites, like having communion frequently or being baptized or other thing that could happen in the church, but it is the message of the cross that changes us. So Paul says in verse 6, however, we, and with this we, he's going to be changing the meaning of we. Here we is the leaders. We, Apollos, Peter, Paul, Priscilla and Aquila, and any other leader of the church, we are speaking wisdom, which is the message of the cross, among those who are complete, like among believers. And he says the purpose of the church is not to get together to discuss the wisdom of the world and how to be successful in the world according to human standards. The purpose of the church is how to be successful in pleasing God, in loving God. And that is the wisdom that comes from God. What is what pleases God? So we are not gathering here in church to talk about how to be smart according to world standards, according to the wisdom of this age, but is to talk about the wisdom of God among those who are complete, the mature. And he says, this wisdom of the world is, what we're speaking here is not, these are not political speeches or the wisdom of the rulers of this world. And in fact, he says, the rulers of this world are coming to nothing. Even with all the glory that a president might have in a presidential campaign, after a few years, he comes to nothing. It doesn't matter how rich the king and how great kingdom he has, eventually all the kingdoms will come to nothing. Did I put that? Yes, I did. All the rulers of this world will eventually fail. They are all being abolished. The word there, they are being destroyed or they are coming to nothing, is the same thing that God is doing to the wisdom of this world. God is, whatever the world values as worthy and important, before God, he's going to bring it to nothing. One of the greatest kings of the earth that have lived on the earth, I think one of them was Nebuchadnezzar, or certainly Daniel speaks of him as a very prominent king. He was king in the country of Iraq. Of course, it wasn't called Iraq at that time. It was called Babylon. But he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw a statue with a head of gold and shoulders of silver and the thighs and the torso of bronze. And then the feet were a mixture of bronze and clay. And Daniel, and he was really bothered by that dream, and then Daniel got the wisdom of God and the revelation of God and explained to him what that dream was. And he said, you are the head of gold. You are the most important king of all these kingdoms that will come afterwards and those empires. And in fact, you are the important one. The one in the silver one was Persia and the bronze was Rome. And then, I'm missing something. The Greeks are somewhere in there. And the last one, the feet, the mix is Rome and basically the dissolution of that into clay and bronze. But then at the end, after all these kingdoms, at the end of the dream, he saw a rock that was cut, but not by human hands, chisel, but it was cut by God. And it came and destroyed the statue and broke it into smithereens so that, it's right here. And he said, you were watching while a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the image right on the feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then everything, not just the feet, but the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold, they were all crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the chaff in the summer threshing floors, people will bring their grain, and then they would just throw the grain up, and all these particles of dust just will fly away. And he said, all these metals and greatness of these kingdoms, they were just flying like dirt, in the summer, the chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that you couldn't even tell that they had been there. No trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain. And filled the whole earth, the whole land. And then, skipping about 10 verses, 34, in the next 10 verses, he explains what is going to happen. And in these days, these kings of God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And he's talking about that kingdom. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. That's the kingdom of God, the kingdom based on the wisdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. And it shall stand forever. And inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out from the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. This dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. So Paul can say here, the wisdom that has made these kingdoms great will pass away. All these rulers, with all their wisdom and their might, are coming to nothing. Now, this wisdom of God has not been revealed to everyone. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God, which is the message of God, in mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained for our glory. So, before the ages, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So this wisdom that he's talking about, it is found in the Word of God and the message of God. But if you read the Scriptures, if you read the Bible, if you hear even messages of the Bible, that doesn't mean that you have this wisdom. Think about the rulers that he's talking about. Who are the rulers that crucified the Lord of glory? One of them was Herod, was involved in that, the son of Herod the Great, but especially Annas and Caiaphas, the two high priests. Now, did they not know the Scriptures? They knew the Scriptures, and they still crucified the Lord of glory. So, being able to, if someone reads the Bible, if someone goes to church, that doesn't mean that they actually have access to this wisdom of God. He's going to explain in the rest of the passage how you get access to this wisdom of God. But reading the Bible and knowing the Scriptures doesn't mean that you understand the plan of God of saving His people in the person of Christ, in this King that will rule the earth forever. And that's what happened. When the wise men came to Herod, Herod asked his own wise men, according to human standards, where is the Messiah going to be born? And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. Because Micah says, and they were able to quote it, But they didn't believe it. They did not understand the plan of God, that he was going to save his people through that Messiah. And in fact, they were willing to let Herod go and kill Herod and all the babies. Herod tried to destroy the Messiah when Jesus was a child, without success. Annas, Caiaphas, Herod, and Pilate were able to destroy Christ successfully at the time that God had ordained. But so you see here that knowing the Bible and going to church doesn't mean that you understand God's plan. And if you don't understand the gospel, you don't have God's wisdom. Basically, that's what Paul is saying here. So what's the job of Paul? What is he doing? We speak wisdom among the complete, the mature. Verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God, which is in a mystery. So people can actually read the Bible and not see it. It's hidden. That's what he's saying. So this wisdom of God was hidden, and even people in the Old Testament could read the Old Testament and not figure out how God was going to carry out his plan. So we speak this wisdom of God in a mystery. It's a secret. It was revealed only to a restricted group. That doesn't mean that no one knows it, that you need to look for. That's the English meaning. In English, the word mystery is something that you have to figure out. In the Greek here, mysterio, which is where we get our mystery word, means something that was hidden, but it's just revealed to a restricted group. And the group that has the wisdom of God is the church. It is the people that received the message of Christ dying on the cross and believed it. So this wisdom of God is hidden, revealed to a small group, and God planned it beforehand. He determined it for our glory. And the rulers, even though they had access to the scriptures and they had access to wise men according to the human standards, to scholars, to people of great education, they did not arrive to the wisdom of God through human wisdom or through human learning, even through human learning of the scriptures. There is a lot of scholars, Bible scholars, especially in Europe and Germany, who do not believe the scriptures, and they have not come to the understanding of the wisdom of God, of salvation in the person of Christ. But they can quote lots of facts about the Bible, and they can try to decide which text was the original, and most likely what this was the original, but that's not the wisdom of this world. That's scholarship according to human standards. And these rulers, people might be able to quote the scriptures. Satan can quote the scriptures and not have access to the wisdom of God. And he said, if they have understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they did. The other thing that I want to bring out in this passage is you're going to see God's sovereignty in these first two chapters at work in his plan as he reveals wisdom. One of them is at the end of chapter 1, Paul says that God chose the weak and the foolish and the base, and we talk about the base, those without nobility, those without good genes, those without genes, the things that are rejected by men, and that's what God has chosen to bring down the powerful and the wise. When you think about the scholarship Paul was thinking about the scholarship according to human standards, and that's what he asks in chapter 1. Where is the scholar? Do you see all these scholars coming to Christ because of human understanding and wisdom? No. Where is the debater of this age? Where is the scribe? They are God has chosen to reveal himself not through the wisdom of this age, but through the message of the cross. That's how he revealed himself. So God controls wisdom. It is not humans that figure out what is wise and what is not wise. God controls it to the point that he reveals it to whoever he wants. God determined before the beginning of time, he said here, God ordained or decided beforehand, that's proorizo, he decided beforehand, he determined in advance, before the ages, before the beginning of time, whom he was going to reveal his wisdom to. For the glory, not the glory of God, eventually it does bring glory to God, but he said for our own glory, for the glory of the believers, he decided to show wisdom to them. And he's the one hiding the wisdom. Who can hide the wisdom of God? If there is true wisdom, only God can. He conceals his wisdom. Some people do not come to know his work, even those with great power and authority. You can be King Nebuchadnezzar, and God decided to show King Nebuchadnezzar what was going to happen. The great kingdom that will never be destroyed, which was going to come from above, a rock cut not by human hands. But to others, he doesn't reveal anything. He just keeps his wisdom hidden, which means he controls rulers. And all of them are coming to nothing, whether their kingdom is represented by gold or silver or bronze or clay. He controls them, and all of them will come to nothing. So you here see, okay, I'll leave it there, God's sovereignty. Verse 9. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. This is not a straight quotation from Isaiah 64:4. He's using verses from Isaiah 64 verse 4 to complete his argument, or to add to his argument into the Corinthians. And what he's explaining is that the believers have a great privilege. They have the privilege of perceiving something that is not achieved through human perception. You can see many things with your eyes and still not understand the wisdom of God. You can hear things with your ears and not come to the wisdom of God. But to those who are in Christ, those things, which is the wisdom of God, that do not come through eyes or ears, have entered into the heart of man. And it's not through the thinking of man that they come to the wisdom of God, but it's what God prepares. Again, is God working, revealing himself, revealing his wisdom to people, and is not achieved through human senses. From a human standard, maybe if I can see it, I'll believe. If I can touch it, I believe. If I can think about it, and heart sometimes it refers to the mind, what the process that go on in the mind. But the wisdom of God is not something that humans can just figure out by observation and logic. It's something that God has to reveal, and God has prepared to those who love him. So, organs of physical perception cannot provide man with true spiritual wisdom. And if you cannot achieve wisdom through seeing and hearing and thinking, you cannot be saved. Without God's wisdom, you can't be saved. So, that's it for the first point. As believers, you have a great privilege. You have been brought into this group that has unrestricted access to his wisdom. To this restricted group that has unrestricted access to God's wisdom. And the second thing, the last thing, is that God's Spirit, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And what he does, the way that this wisdom comes to us is through the mind of Christ. Well, through the Holy Spirit who gives us the mind of Christ, who allows us to think and to be able to see things from a spiritual perspective. So verse 10. So how did God reveal these things? Okay, so there is the wisdom of God. He reveals it to a restricted group. How does that group get it? So verse 10, but God has revealed that wisdom to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, or even the deep things of God. The Spirit is another favor or grace that God has bestowed upon His people. One of the verses we are memorizing is, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? I put that one there. We have that verse that He did not spare His own Son. So God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God doesn't only give us His Son, but God gives the believer His Spirit. And He reveals things to us through His Spirit. Jesus said, just before He went to the cross, the Last Supper, He told the disciples, let me tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. It is for your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. However, then I'm going to skip to verse 13. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. So Jesus was saying, He will provide you with wisdom. In some ways, He uses it in the terms of truth. But it is the Spirit who guides the believer to understand what is true. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And that's what He says, that the Spirit is the one that searches even the deep things of God. And that's what He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me because He will take what is Mine and He will give it to you. So here is God giving us His Son, and then giving us His Spirit. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. See, again, it's not by what you can see or hear or understand with your own human intellect. It has to be revealed. But you know Him because He dwells with you. It has to be revealed through Christ. The people, the disciples, He knew Him because they had been with Christ, and God revealed to Peter that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He dwells with you and will be in you. And you can see these things like, this makes completely sense. This completely makes sense. That's because you have the Holy Spirit teaching you these things. But then when you try to explain it to someone who does not have the Holy Spirit in them, they don't quite understand it. They might read the verse, it's like, I love the Word of God. The Bible sounds so pretty. Without understanding what the spiritual truth behind it. So, just going back to our passage. So, God has revealed the wisdom of God, the great things of God through His Spirit. Because the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. The greatest mysteries of God have been are accessible to believers through the Holy Spirit. That's why believers are complete. You don't need anything else to be able to get divine wisdom. If you have Christ and you have the Holy Spirit, you have access to divine wisdom. Everything that a believer needs or a human needs spiritually has been provided to them. They have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And then he explains, who knows more about man except the spirit of man, the way he said it? For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? And so if you want to know things about man, you can see your inner being, to learn more about you. But even then, there are many times we don't even understand why we do different things. Why did you hit your brother? I don't know. Why did you hit your sister? Why did you say that? I don't know. It just happened. Even with the spirit of man within us, we don't even understand everything that it is. But the Spirit of God, who has access to God's wisdom, He's the one revealing things to His people. Verse 12 then. Even so, the things of God, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, who is of God, that we might know the things who have been freely given to us by God. So what is the Spirit telling us? And that's what verse 12 is telling us. The Spirit of God is telling us the free things that God has given us. What did God give us free? He gave us His Son. He gave us His Spirit. He gave us wisdom. He gave us sanctification. He set us apart. He gave us righteousness for free, that you might be freely justified by His Son. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us redemption. He took us from the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. And all that in the message of the cross. All that is the work of Christ on the message of the cross, which is what the Spirit is teaching us. It's teaching us the free things that have been given to the believers by God. So Paul says, that is the interesting the interesting work of a Christian leader is to put into words the words of the Spirit. The Spirit reveals it to God's people, and the person teaching other believers puts into human words the teachings of the Spirit. So at the beginning he says we speak wisdom among the mature, that our job is to speak wisdom among God's people who can understand God's wisdom, among that select group. And now he's saying our job, we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. This is not our how smart and we are or skilled, but what we teach are the words which the Holy Spirit teaches. So what you are hearing here, regardless of the preacher, whether it's a good preacher, medium preacher, bad preacher, if he's teaching the Word of God, he's putting into words not as dictation, like the Holy Spirit says this or that, but he's using, the Holy Spirit is using the preacher's or the speaker's personality and abilities to communicate the wisdom and the knowledge that the Holy Spirit has. So the Holy Spirit speaks to the believer, and then the believer is able to put into words, to explain to other believers the wisdom of God. So these things we speak, not in words which my wisdom teaches, but we speak in words which the Holy Spirit teaches. And then there is this very ambiguous phrase that there are so many translations, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That word comparing can be, it has different shades of strength. It can be from combining. And then once you combine, then you can compare. So that would be the next step. And then once you compare, you come to a conclusion, and that's called interpreting. And some, because the phrase is so ambiguous, some people translate it as combining spiritual things with spiritual things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, or interpreting spiritual things with spiritual things. The other problem that we have is the spiritual things, because it's pneumatica and pneumaticois. One, both of them can be neuter, or one of them might be masculine, plural, which would be comparing or combining spiritual things with spiritual people. And that's why you have some translations like that. Or comparing spiritual things with spiritual words. And I think that's what we have in some of the other translations like NASB. Here the Greek, the New King James and the King James decided to not put anything with the second spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual people or words. So you can choose both of them are masculine. Regardless, okay, let's suppose the main thing is that the work of the Spirit and the work of Paul putting words of the Spirit into human words is done on benefit of believers. Whether it's referring to spiritual words or directly to spiritual believers, the words that are taught by the Spirit. So basically, the Spirit searches the deep things of God. Then he comes and tells the believer, this is the wisdom of God. And then the believer understands, he sees it in a new light. Wow, that's true, I see it. Then he puts it into words, teaching spiritual things, either with spiritual words, or with spiritual words to spiritual people. And so what's the opposite of non-spiritual people? So the spiritual people are the complete, those who are in Christ. The opposite are the incomplete, the natural man, the man without the Spirit of God, the one that you explain things and they can hear the Word of God and see the Word of God and think about the Word of God and not understand the message of salvation. And that's the natural man. Verse 14. But the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. And the main reason is because they don't have the Spirit of God with them. I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The reason why believers can understand it is because the Spirit of God is within them, talking to them, revealing to them the mysteries of God. But those who do not have the Spirit of God cannot see it, because first the world cannot receive it because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Here's the way that Paul says it. The natural man, the unspiritual, the one that doesn't have the Spirit of God, the one who has not been changed spiritually, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. It's like, I don't think that's important in my life. I don't think going to church and putting emphasis on someone who was crucified 2,000 years ago and treated like the criminal. I mean, a lot of people are treated as criminals and put to death. Innocent people are condemned all the time through all generations. Why would I pay attention to this? They don't see the wisdom of God in him. And then he has the word, nor can he know them. Because the Spirit of God is not in them. Because they are spiritually discerned. But the difference is either the natural or the one who has been changed by the Spirit, verse 15. But he who is the spiritual judges all things. So the spiritual is able to see things from a different perspective. And the word judges there is the same word as spiritually discerned. Discern and judges is exactly the same word in Greek, anakrino. And so the other person cannot judge things from a spiritual perspective, but the believer who has been changed can discern things from a spiritual way, and he cannot be spiritually judged by someone who does not have the Spirit of God. They don't understand what they are judging. It's like, why are you spending so much time reading your Bible? Why do you make... And we have to use that discernment either for our entertainment, which movies we decide to watch, which programs we see, how are we going to treat our wives, how are we going to treat our husbands, how are we going to treat our children. We see things as believers with the glasses from the Spirit of God. In some ways, I was thinking about, they say that dogs cannot see color. Yesterday I saw an orange butterfly land on a red flower. And I'm thinking, why did the orange butterfly went to the red flower? There are many other flowers, and went to the red flower. And I think some insects might be able to tell the color or something because they are able to just find the flowers. I don't know how they find it. I don't know the wisdom of God on the animals. but it went there. If I were a dog, I saw a gray butterfly land on a gray flower, which I cannot tell is a flower because the leaves look the same way. Everything is without color. And in some ways, unless that dog is changed so that he can see color, he cannot appreciate why the orange butterfly landed on the red flower. And the same thing is with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, a person without the Holy Spirit is like that dog not seeing in color. A person with the Holy Spirit, it just makes sense you would land on the red part because that's where the flower is. That's what the butterflies would do. It just makes sense. That's what you need to. It's attracting the butterfly to it. That it just makes sense. So he who is spiritual judges and determines things from a spiritual perspective. And again, who has advised God ever? No one gives God advice because no one is wiser than God. God is the one who has true wisdom. But he concludes this section saying, we believers are complete because we have the mind of Christ. We believers, because of the Holy Spirit, and we have access to the wisdom of God, we can think and see things the way that Jesus Christ saw them. We have been given the mind of Christ because of the Holy Spirit. So, these are incredible privileges that Paul is explaining. He's trying to say, stop fighting between one another, but understand what you have been given in the message of the cross. You have unrestricted access to God's wisdom, and you are able to see things from a spiritual perspective, which those who do not have the Spirit of God can't. You have that wonderful privilege. So, without the work of God in our being, we are in spiritual darkness. We cannot see in color. We don't understand why things are happening. 2 Corinthians says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. It is the God of this age who does not allow these people to see in color, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We don't preach ourselves. The message is the Lord Jesus. With Christ, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And I want to conclude by reading a similar passage that I think is addressing the same thing that Paul addressed in 1 Corinthians, but from a different perspective. And hopefully we'll, having thought of what is here in 1 Corinthians, this will complement each other. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, so you were in the kingdom of darkness, like the dog that can't see in color, that didn't understand because you didn't have the Holy Spirit, so you were an enemy of God. You were enemies in your mind because of your wicked works against God. Yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So he made you complete. Now you will be presented holy and blameless, just like the Corinthians, and above reproach before the presence of God. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard. That means if you understand the gospel and stay there, if you move away from the faith, it's that most likely you never understood what you received, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So what does he do? I rejoice in my sufferings for you. I fill up in my flesh what is lacking of the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. So he ministers to the church, which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. He speaks wisdom to the complete, to the mature, to God's people. What is that wisdom? The mystery which was having hidden from ages, again, from the beginning of time, and for generations, but now has been revealed to a select group of people, to God's people, to his saints. And he keeps revealing it. That's why we preach the gospel. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of his glories. What does the Spirit tell us? The free things that have been given to us. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his, of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what's that mystery? Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach. That is what makes the change. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man, and that's the word complete, in Christ Jesus. Again, what will bring final completeness, again, is the message of Christ. I pray that you will God give us wisdom on this. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these gifts that you have given us in the Holy Spirit. I mean, what a privilege to be able to understand the free things that you have given us, Lord. I pray that you will help us to stay steadfast. what we have received, Lord. And I pray that you will help us to put it into words, Lord, this privilege that we have also to be able to put spiritual things into spiritual words that spiritual people might be benefited from it, Lord. Thank you for this privilege you have given me to be able to share your word. Thank you for the illumination we have from the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love and thank you for deciding to reveal your wisdom to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will help us to share this message. We pray for our loved ones who do not know you, that you will reveal yourself to them as well, Lord, that they might be able to see your wisdom. And we even pray for wisdom for those who are in authority here and Culpeper in this state, Lord, and even in our nation and all over the world, Lord, that they might understand that there is no other wisdom but the one that comes from you and that seeks your will and everything, and help us to do that in our lives. And we're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.